All right, guys. So welcome to the first episode of the Chatter's Box podcast. Jaron Kiviat here. I'll be joined weekly by Josh Wolf, who's a top prospect in the Cleveland Guardians organization. You know, me and Josh have been talking about starting this podcast for months leading up to today. Basically, we wanted to give you guys a deeper look on the lives of those around Major League Baseball. We're going to start by interviewing players, especially the younger players around our age, the Gen Z players. But then as we get more into things, we're going to interview executives, scouts, agents, members of the media, influencers, you name it, anyone around the game of baseball who could be an interesting guest we'd love to eventually have on. But yeah, guys, I mean, a lot of you guys know me as New York Mets News. I had always wanted to start a podcast, but you know, I've been offered to start a Mets podcast by many people, and I understand that my fan base is mostly Mets fans, but I wanted to tap into a bigger audience and focus on the game of baseball rather than just the Mets. Not to mention there's like a million Mets podcasts, so I just thought it'd be way cooler to start a baseball podcast, and I want to do it with Josh because as he's going to tell you, he's very, very connected in that world. He lives it as a pitcher, so you know, Josh, introduce yourself to the people and welcome to Chatter's Box.
Yeah, so I'm Josh Wolf. I'm a pitcher in the Cleveland Guardians organization. Jaron had reached out to me with this idea, and immediately I thought I loved it, and I thought it was a great idea because I feel like there's not a lot of baseball podcasts out there that really get like the young big leaguers. And I think that's something that we can tap into with Who I Know. Another cool thing is for me is I'm being able to do this while I'm progressing through the minor leagues and hopefully into the major leagues. And I think it's another cool thing is I can kind of share what I'm going through and be able to talk to players that I've been playing with currently, maybe in the future, against, and just like have those conversations and make it fun for the fans to hear. So yeah, so I thought it was a great idea, and I can't wait to do this and start interviewing these guys. And you know, I know a lot of people in baseball, so I think players wise we're gonna have some cool guests on.
Oh, 100%. And you know, for those of you guys who don't know, I'm sure we'll get a lot of Mets fans. Yes, this is the same Josh Wolf who was in that Francisco Lindor Carlos Carrasco trade. Yes, he is still alive. Yes, he's doing great. And I think, like Josh just said, I think it's great that we have two different perspectives. We have one from Josh's lens, you know, top prospect, he's been drafted, he's grown up around guys like Brett Beatty and Shane Boz, and he's played with some top players, and he eventually hopes to be one of those top players himself in a couple years when he gets to the major leagues. So off the bat, he brings that baseball perspective as an actual player. On the flip side, I bring more of like a social media influencer slash like journalistic perspective, where I've been covering the game very closely for close to a decade now. And I think combined, you know, between my, you know, me and Josh's like young ages and just our willingness to learn more and, you know, being open-minded and talking to other people, we really feel like you guys will enjoy this podcast on a weekly basis. And yeah, we're very excited to kick things off here.
Yeah, especially, you know, our first guest will be Shane Boz. And he's a stud. Rays pitcher, first round pick, was also in a big trade like I was. And I think, again, like that guy, you know, a guy like that is going to be a top pitcher in the league in these next couple of years. So who better to start off than that guy? Shane, you know, just to go straight into it, just kind of high school-wise, the events that you went to, you know, you went to PG National, you went to the All-American Games, just, you know, what was your favorite event out of those? And who are the best players from those events that you'd play with? And then just who do you feel like from those events when you saw them, you knew just straight up would be stars in the future?
I'd say my favorite was USA, just because we got to do so much as far as a team, like get to, you know, go train and actually in Houston for a few weeks and then go to Mexico for a few weeks and get to play all these countries. So I would say that was the coolest, starting with 108 players and seeing guys from everywhere was awesome. But I think guys that really stood out was like guys like Joe Adell, who was like 96 off the mound and like won all the home run derbies. And then you had like Hunter Green, like throwing 100 miles an hour when I'm like 17 years old. And I'm just like the first time I've ever seen anything like that. And then I'm trying to think of some other guys. I mean, watching Nick Allen and like Bryce Terang, like play up the middle, I hadn't seen infielders that good. And yeah, it was very shocking the first time that I saw how much talent was there.
Yeah. So you play with and against these guys, and then you still have a senior season to go to where you're facing high schoolers. And in this case, I didn't hit off you, but I did pitch against you your senior year. So, you know, the average high schooler who goes to math class and, you know, has a game that night doesn't really, you know, face 98 that often. So just going into those games, what was your mindset? Like, did you, because I know for me, for example, when I was in high school, as a senior, I just felt like there was no chance anyone can touch me. So like, was that the same kind of mindset you took? Like, I faced all these guys and all those great tournaments where these are the best of the best. And now I have to face these guys who are, you know, going to college for mathematics.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, obviously when you play the better guys, you start to like pitch, you know, a little more, I don't know if it's a little smarter, you know, you're not just going to throw like a 2-0 fastball down the middle every at bat. So, but going back to, you know, the high school team was like, okay, I just need to not walk anyone. Like, there's no point in pitching around any of these guys, you know, as opposed to like maybe, you know, a four hole with a couple guys on, you're like, I don't want to throw them anything good during the summer against all those, you know, the All-American games and all that. But yeah, I think it just gave you like a little confidence boost going back.
For sure. No, I think also, you know, it's funny, Jaren, you don't know this, but for example, like that game that I pitched against Shane, Shane had started and then they took the lead and then he went out of the game and then we came back. And it was, I think, like 4-4 and like the sixth inning. I'm a sophomore at the time. It was a good game. I came in and I faced one guy. He gets on base. I think Shane was the second guy up and I believe I hung a curveball.
It was a good breaking ball.
Yeah. And Shane hit it off the fence to right field. So just to show you, Shane was a very good hitter too. But then we ended up losing the game because of me. But yeah, that was a pretty funny thing. But then another thing that I just remember in high school was Shane's dad was a big deal. He was like a celebrity because he would come to these games with, it felt like a new car every time.
Yeah.
And like I'm talking about like nice cars. And then looking, you know, to where Shane made his debut, he became even more of a celebrity because of how macho he was. So is that cool to see for you, just like the recognition your dad got when you debuted?
It is. I mean, I think everybody that knows him just about loves him, and he's a real genuine dude. And he likes cars. He likes to work out still. But yeah, seeing him, like, I got so many texts and calls about him. Just, hey dude, I saw your dad on TV, like, tell him he still looks jacked and all this stuff. And he just, he's like a larger than life kind of figure, even for me. Like, the amount of people that know him and that he knows is just like endless.
No, it's really funny, Shane, because as I was telling you in the first version of this interview, like I was asking our followers, what they'd like to see us ask you. And so many people were like, yeah, asking about his dad, Raj.
Yeah.
You know what kind of figure he is based off that. So I do want to ask, I did ask you this last time too, who would win an arm wrestling match, him or Marcus Stroman's dad, Earl Stroman?
I mean, that would be like heavyweight matchup. Like, that would be must watch TV. I'd have to go with my dad, just being biased, just because of how I don't think I've ever beaten him in arm wrestling. So I feel like he
don't lose.
he's got the big hands too. Like I got him too, but he's just like he's got the big strong hands, and it helps him for sure.
Does he like because of this? Because I'm sure he knew about like the publicity he was getting, right? After or did he not?
Not at all.
No clue. No.
Like he was just like, man, so many people have been texting me, like saying that they saw me on TV. I'm like, yeah, dude, they're doing like bits about you. Like,
yeah. So I was about to say, like, you know, that was your first year in pro in the big leagues, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna have a very long career where I'm sure he's gonna keep getting on TV. You got to tell him, I feel like you got to stay in some good shape, right? Like at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think it motivates him a little bit. Like, I think it does. Cause he's like, man, like everyone saw me the first year and, you know, if 5 years down the road or however long, if he, you know, lets himself go, there's going to be this, I told him there's going to be side by sides, you know, before and afters. So I think it gives him a little motivation. Yeah, exactly.
So Shane, last time we did ask you about your playoff prediction at the time we were entering the wild card weekend. Fast forward, we're now entering Super Bowl weekend. I mean, newsflash, your Cowboys lost, obviously. We all knew that.
Don't remind me. Honestly, I think my picks were awful anyway, so it's a good thing that they're they're lost.
Yeah. I did not expect the Eagles and Chiefs to be in there. So who do you got in the Super Bowl?
Honestly, I'm taking the Chiefs. Taking the Chiefs by about – I got Chiefs by 10. I think there will be a little trash time. Eagles probably down by like 13 or 17 and maybe kick a field goal or score a touchdown. And
cover
I got
spread.
Chiefs by 10. Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the spread is.
I don't either, but
– I got Chiefs by 10. I'm going to say 34-24.
I think the Eagles are favorites, right? I think they're the favorites
they
right
be.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be a good Super Bowl. Actually, worked that well.
This whole
I mean, I just don't think you can bet against Pat Mahomes ever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now that Brady's out of the league, I mean, he's got to carry the league.
I mean, dude, he's the best right now. I feel like
he played baseball too, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
His dad played in the big leagues.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Yeah, and then
did I see his dad the other day pop up? He's, I'm smoking that burrow. He's got
that's so funny.
That's a character.
Yeah, I need to get Raj on some bits like that.
Exactly.
Oh. He needs like a punchline. Just turn into LeVar Ball.
Exactly. Baseball needs a LeVar Ball too. Like that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
Real quick, Shane, because last time you mentioned that you ran into Kevin Durant in the Olympics, right, a couple of years ago. Would you mind just going into that? I know you told me last time, but obviously that footage is gone now. But I think that was a really cool story.
Yeah.
So, kind of sharing that whole experience with KD and Team USA.
In Tokyo. And, I mean, we were going into opening ceremony, so we kind of had to, like, take a bus to this massive stadium. And then kind of walk through the stadium and across the field and watch the ceremony. And they kind of had it broken up by sport. And they put, like, baseball with the men and women's basketball teams. So, like, you know, we're just, like, in a big waiting room with, like, KD and, like, Draymond Green and, like, JaVale McGee. Like, it was nuts just like seeing all of them together. Like it was pretty funny. And then like the women's players were just like 6'7", 6'8" and just all just looked like crazy athletes. But so me and Joe Ryan were like walking in the stadium and KD was like, you know, like what sport do y'all play? And we're like, oh, we play baseball. And he's like, really? Like, are you any good? And we were like, yeah, like, we think we're good. Like, kind of like, yeah, kind of. And he's like, what's your ERA? And Joe's like, mine right now is like a 2. And I'm like, mine's probably like a 2-something, like a 2.5. I don't know. And he's like, you're a pitcher and you don't know your ERA? Like, and I was just like more shocked at how he knew what that was than anything. And I was just like, oh yeah, man, like, sorry. And
there's no way he can blow like, his field goal percentage.
Imagine just,
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, yeah, okay, what are you shooting from free throw? Free throw line this year. But he was cool. I mean, he definitely like knew his stuff, and he was like, what's y'all's names? And like, introduce ourselves. And he's like, all right, like, I'll be watching how y'all do. He's like, who's throwing the first game? He's like, Joe's like, I am. He's like, all right, bro, like, good luck. And he was cool, dude. Really cool.
So you definitely guys meddled. So yeah, I was saying, you guys medal in the Olympics. Do you still have the medal?
Yeah, I have it in my safe.
You kept it in the safe? I was about to say, do you have it like framed or anything, but you have it in the safe?
No, I have it in like the little, they gave us like a little circle case for it. And I honestly have taken it out like maybe once, but
you don't like to just look people at like it? Get them.
No, I mean, apparently people get them like insured and everything. And I'm like, man, I think if I lost this, like, I'd just be like, oh, well, you know.
If you were to sell that, how much could that go for, you think?
I mean, they're saying it's like a few thousand dollars worth of silver. Mm-hmm. Like, just the, I don't know, scrap silver. But I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though.
Especially because baseball is, like, rarely, like, they're never in the Olympics. Like, now.
No.
So, yeah, they took it out of the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm ever strapped for cash, I can take the pawn shop or something. I don't know. eBay. But no, it's a good keepsake. I'll probably, you know, keep it in the safe for a while and, you know, bring it out. I don't know. I don't like to brag about stuff. So
I
like to keep it in the safe.
Have you gotten your own house yet? Or are you still living?
Yeah,
out?
I moved into my own townhouse in Houston, so it's going good so far.
I feel like you could probably make a pretty cool like baseball shrine. Is that something that you're planning on doing?
Yeah, I'm working on like a game room downstairs right now, but I have like the Rays actually made me like a massive. They framed it. It was my debut jersey. Lineup card, and then there's like a almost like a stat line kind of thing, and it's huge. Like, it's probably 5 feet wide and has the jersey in there and everything, so that's definitely like the nicest thing I have. But I've got like a couple of Rays, I got some neon signs and stuff like that, and I have a Pirates one too, but just like I got some good sports memorabilia in there.
Do you think that
myself yet, though?
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, do you think that, like, you know, in all these other sports, they do jersey swaps, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that in baseball, that's something that would be pretty cool to have in the big leagues, or do you think that players wouldn't want to do that?
It happens all the time. So at the beginning of the year, usually you go through your schedule and you'll say like, okay, with one of the clubhouse, you know, managers, and say like, okay, I'm gonna order an Otani jersey, we play them. I'm going to order like a Miguel Cabrera jersey, we play them. And then whenever they do come in town, you have their jersey bought and you send it to the other clubhouse and get them to sign it. Like, that was one thing I learned this year that happens quite a bit.
Did you do that to anybody or not yet?
I haven't done it yet. I didn't really know about it. And they were saying like most of the time you want to order the jersey like at spring training, so they're all already in during the season. So I might try and do some this year. I don't think anybody would want mine, but
Shane, now you're playing every team around the league, not just interleague play anymore. So we got to hear the list. Like, who are you going to go for now that you can?
Man, I got to get a Trout. I think a Trout, Harper, Otani, Judge. Those would probably be the position players I would want. And then pitchers, I would definitely need like a JV, DeGrom, Scherzer.
Like, all my guys right there. Love it.
Yeah. Like, that's just – like, I would kill for some guys that aren't playing anymore. Like, I mean, people getting like Pujols jerseys last year. Like, I'm like, dude, I missed out. But
– yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I was going to say also, for the jerseys, you know, when you do send them over, is there a chance that those guys say no?
Oh, for sure. Like, usually they say, like, hey, we'll sign stuff. You know, it's 3 or 4 game series. Like, we'll sign stuff the first day, and then after that, like, we're not signing anymore. Which I kind of understand. You know, you don't want to be sitting in your locker just signing stuff. When you have to prepare for games, you know, every day, and hitters are going over this and that, or a starter's pitching that day maybe, and he's got to do scouting report stuff. But, yeah, usually you want to get it done the first day of the series.
Some, I feel like that's got to be.
Might not want to do it.
When you, you know, when you're back and you, if you end up doing that, if you, yeah. For example, like if you get like a Trout jersey and he sees, okay, like, I don't know if he's going to see your name, like, you know, he requested it, but he sees that, you know, okay, Shane Boz wanted a signed jersey. Then you face him. That's got to feel a little weird on his part. Like, this kid just asked me to sign this jersey. Now I got to face him. And then, I mean, you strike him out. That's got to be pretty demeaning.
Yeah. He might not want to sign it after that. No, that's what I'm saying. He probably is like, you know, he's probably used to it at this point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'm definitely sure
him and Ohtani, like, yeah. You know, those guys are, it's good because, you know, baseball needs it, but I think those guys should be huge stars. And especially Ohtani, I feel like he's becoming bigger and bigger. So he started that, you see the New Balance deal that he signed?
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah. So that's, I'd love to know the specs of that deal just to see, like, what they're giving them and stuff.
Just to compare it to my deal in like 6 years.
I bet it's insane.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, 7. I bet it's 8, 9.
Are you with a shoe company right now?
I'm not. I just am with Rawlings right now.
So you're a free agent?
Free agent. Come bid.
Hey, Wilson, Under Armour, Nike, Adidas, anyone listening?
He's out here. Go for it. I love Rawlings. I've been with Rawlings my whole career.
Yeah, I'm a Wilson guy. I gotta deal with them. But if you know, we're talking about the LeVar Ball, you know, of baseball. But what about Triple B shoes? You know, that actually they, funny enough, they had a tryout in Houston for the, you remember that league they did way in, like, back in the day, like,
oh, it was like the Big Three or something.
Whatever that league was, the JBL. It was like the LeVar Ball league. And they had a tryout in Houston, and it was at my dad's gym. And, you know, I talked to one of the head guys, and I was like, you know, you guys don't have a big baller brand baseball cleat. And he's just like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Do we need to make one of those? I said, yeah, I think a lot of baseball players would wear that. So, hey, if they come back with big baller brand cleats.
Dude, I'll try them. I'll try them.
You can be big baller Boz.
Yeah. Big Boz brand. Yeah. No, I'm like, whoever sends me free cleats, like, I will wear them. I don't discriminate.
What is your favorite cleat? Do you have a favorite cleat, like, right now?
I wore the Nikes last year. They had an all black. I don't know why I like the all black. Like, I got them on right now. Like, I just wear all black shoes, like, almost every day. But my cleats are all black. So they had a pair of all black cleats that I wore all last year, and the year before, actually. But before that, I used to like some of the Adidas ones when they came out with like the Ultra Boost. They were pretty good. And then wore New Balances for a couple years. Like, I might go back to New Balance, though. I don't know.
Do you alternate every start, or is it just like,
no, I'll try a bunch during spring training and then pick one,
that,
and
that I'm one not, cleats the one you're rolling with the not, whole year.
Yeah, like I had one pair of cleats that I wore like the past 2 years in a row.
Not in the same way. I feel like it's I don't know, like there's some guys that I see, like, they'll, you know, they'll give their cleats away even, like, and then they'll start with pitchers, you know. And I just feel like once you get comfortable, you just want to stick with that the rest of the year.
Yes.
You know, like, it's not, it's like
kind of a almost like a superstition thing at that point.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, these are comfy. I'm not gonna, you know, mess with it.
So, definitely, you know, we were just talking about the struggles in the minors and all that. We want to cut now though to the trade when you go from, you know, Pittsburgh to Tampa.
Yeah.
What's now known as maybe one of the biggest fleeces in MLB history. Obviously, with your you were a player to be named later in that though, right?
Like, it was. Yep.
So first of all, before we even get into the actual trade, How was that? Like, you know, when the trade first happens, I don't know if you were close with the Austin Meadows or Tyler Glasnow at the time. But when you first see the player to be named later, are you thinking like you could be like one of those guys? Like, do you know anything about that or at all or no?
At the time, I really didn't know him that well. I mean, they were both kind of in the big leagues, and I was, you know, in my first full season in the Appalachian League. But I had maybe had a couple interactions with both of them, and they were both super awesome dudes. Definitely some of our top prospects. Like, everybody was, you know, they were the next guys and all that. And, yeah, I mean, I just remember seeing the trade a couple weeks before, being like, oh, okay, well, a player to name later. I'm like, not thinking, you know, there's however many players in our organization. I'm like, I have a 1 in 150 shot, I guess. I don't know. Like, I didn't know what to think. But yeah, basically when they told me, I was very, very surprised. And it kind of felt like being drafted as far as the turnaround of just like, get called in the manager's office. Hey, you just got traded to the Rays. Thank you for everything. You can clean out your locker and you'll get a call soon. And it was just like, boom. Wow. It's like, okay.
So like,
yeah,
Shane,
it's like, all right.
Like Shane, I had a,
oh yeah,
or like the draft, but like our experience was very different. I'll touch on mine real really? Quick.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I want to hear that too.
So yeah. Cause I was traded, in the offseason.
Big deal.
COVID.
Big
yeah,
trade.
And obviously that, yeah, that was a big trade too. But I'm just going to go real quick on mine. But basically all that happened was I get a call in January. And it was from Jared Porter. I don't know if Jared probably knows. That's GM for like 2 weeks before he got. Yeah, he was like the GM for 2 weeks because there was a scandal. Not so good. But yeah, he called me up. And I declined the call twice because I didn't know the number.
You didn't have the number, yeah.
Yeah. And then I got a text saying who it was. And it was like 10 in the morning. And I texted my buddy and was like, oh, like, that's Matthew Allen. And I was like, hey, Matt, like, did Jared text you? Like, maybe he's just checking in because he's new. I'm not thinking straight, like, but. I get downstairs and I'm like, wait, the GM wants to talk. This probably means I'm traded. So then I call him and he just short and sweet, you've been traded to Cleveland. Like, do you have any questions? And I didn't have any questions. I kind of was shocked.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I just refreshed Twitter for an hour just to see the trade and who else was going. I didn't know who I get traded for, like nothing. I was just curious. Yeah, but different. But I agree with you on the fact that it's like the draft. When you go to a different org like that, it's like, especially for me, because I was I hadn't had a full season with the Mets yet. This was my first full season was going to be with Cleveland. So it was exactly like you said. It was just like being drafted all over again.
Yeah, it's very weird. I don't think that you can ever like be ready for it or expect it. It definitely like shows you the business side when it does happen. But I got to play with Archer last year, and he was awesome. He was an awesome dude.
Yeah, like, he's always been like a fan favorite and a cool guy to
oh,
watch.
Dude, like great in the clubhouse, like very, very approachable for me. I mean, he introduced himself to me, and I was kind of like, oh my God, like there's Arch, like this dude, you know, 2-time All-Star, maybe 3-time All-Star, you know, at the top of the game, Rays legend. But yeah, he was awesome, dude. He was very fun to ask questions and just kind of be around.
So on the same team at that time was everyone from the trade.
Yeah.
That's yeah, pretty wild.
That is wild, yeah.
Glass too.
Yeah,
that's really crazy. Yeah, I love Meadows and Glass now. They're both awesome.
Yeah, so you get traded to the Rays, and it's safe to say that from then it went very smoothly from the standpoint you pitched very well in the minor leagues. Like, you know, you rocketed up prospect charts, and then, you know, you had good statistics. And you get called up against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Was that experience? First, getting the news, how surreal was that? Yeah. And then pitching against the Blue Jays in that lineup that had Springer, Guerrero, just all these, Bichette, like
the Oscar. Yeah, we were looking at the list last night and we're like, holy shit, like this guy's first start, all these dudes, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we were in Charlotte. It was like a week left in the season, maybe, or a few days in AAA. And I remember packing for that trip and just being like, God, I don't have any clean clothes. Like, I'll bring what I have that's clean, and like, I'll just have to either find a way to do laundry there, like maybe, you know, pay the clubbies to help me out. And so I go, and sure enough, I pitch on Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe Thursday, and Sunday we have our last game of the series, and I'm like getting ready to go back to Charlotte, have zero clean clothes at this point. I've worn all of them. And the manager is like team meeting before the game, and like we have Brady Williams, who just got promoted to be our third base coach. I literally love him to death. Like, one of my favorite managers I've had. Very pretty strict, but like very, you know, awesome dude. But he kind of did not put up with BS like that. And so we're all like, oh, damn, like, what did we do? Like, everybody's like, oh, shit, like, we messed up bad. And this is our first team meeting of the year. Like, we're like, oh, man, like, did somebody get caught on, like, a scooter or something? Because we weren't allowed to be on them. And he, like, brings the whole team in, and he's like, yeah, you know, we're going back to Durham tomorrow. Or going back tonight after the game, but we won't have one guy with us. He's like, Shane, you're going to start against the Blue Jays on Tuesday. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I just kind of lost it. I was just, like, so surprised. And that was also one of the most fun teams I've been on. So everybody was awesome there. And it was literally like, okay, that night, you know, go to the Charlotte airport and fly to Tampa and play catch the next day at the Trop. And Tuesday was like, let's go, it's time.
Did you pitch with a dip in?
I plead the fifth on that. It's grinds. It's grinds. It's the coffee grind. So all
right.
Yeah, we're gonna respect stick it. With that. Yeah. Well, but I also blame Raj for that.
That was a Raj thing.
Yeah.
That's nice. I did actually, we were going to ask you something else, but while we're on the topic, and I was talking about this with Josh last night, are a lot of guys now that like weed's legalized and like MLB is kind of relaxing on their weed policies, are there a lot of guys, you don't have to give names or any specific details, but I'm just curious, are there a lot of guys who are like smoking weed before a game or playing while high? I'm just curious.
Oh, dude, I haven't heard or seen of any of that. I'm pretty sure that there is a clause in there that you're not supposed to be, you know, under the influence of anything at the field or during the game or any of that. So I haven't seen any of that.
Gotcha.
I probably would not know what to think if I did.
About Doc? Was that guy Doc Ellis? Was he the one who pitched on, was it LSD?
Oh, on LSD. Yeah.
None of that shit.
Legendary.
Yeah, he's a legend. No, I have not seen anything like that. If I do, I'll let you know, but
no, we got, if you do,
no,
you got to,
I mean,
let us,
I'm
know.
Sure, guys.
So, yeah. So we can interview that person because I
yeah. So y'all can interview them. Yeah. Cause I can guarantee it will not be me. So
yeah,
I'll get you guys an actual interesting guest. but no, I'm sure, especially in the places where it's legalized, I'm sure guys like to use it to, you know, whatever,
relax
after the game. But I haven't seen that at all yet.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So you went from the Blue Jays game to, you know, you pitch against Miami, but then you go to Yankee Stadium, and the Yankees needed to win that game. Was that pretty intimidating, or do you not even realize like the magnitude of the game from just how focused you are when you're out there?
I mean, I think once you throw the first pitch, you kind of forget about it. I also have, I was feeling good because of that Miami game. I really felt like I got in the groove that I wanted to and went deep in the game and kind of, you know, was able to land my pitches how I wanted. And I got a pretty funny story about that one. But basically, night before we clinched first place. So that was a Saturday night. And, you know, we pop bottles in the clubhouse and everybody has a good time. And like, I don't have my car there. And I'm like, I'm not driving home. So I Ubered home, Ubered to the field the next day. And I'm like, dude, I don't feel very good. Like, we had a noon game. And I'm just like, dude, I don't feel very good. Like, tried to eat something and my stomach was just not having it at all. Like, just did not feel good at all. And sure enough, went out and probably had one of the best games of the season that I had. So after that, I was like, dude, like,
I can do anything.
Like, yeah, I can deal with that. Like, I can deal with being a little under the weather, whatever. Yeah. And going to New York was awesome because my dad, growing up, was a big Yankees fan. And, you know, he got to go on that trip. So that was awesome for me. Just warming up in the bullpen and seeing him, like, kind of right above the bullpen, like, hanging over. I'm, like, saying what's
up
to him.
No one.
Just seeing him there. Yeah, just seeing him there, like, excited and, like.
He was in a Rays. Like, he was in a Rays shirt.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay, like, yeah, I was going to say, nobody's talking trash to you while you're warming up.
No. I will say, like, some people were saying some stuff to me. Like, you know, I respect it. Yankees fans, like, they're passionate. They want to win. They'll do whatever to win. And, like, there were some people that said some stuff to me, and Raj is kind of looking like, what's their deal? Like, what? Why are they talking trash? And I'm like, that's just, like, what they do. It's just what they do here. And yeah, but that was pretty awesome. That was game 161 or 162.
Yeah, it was very deep in the season.
Yeah, and Brandon Lau hit 3 homers that game. It was ridiculous. Like, I mean, top of the first inning, he hit a homer and we were up 2 or 3 to nothing. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, that takes a lot of pressure off me. Like,
yeah, you started in your first 3. Like, that's pretty crazy for a 22-year-old to go out his first 3 games with 3 dubs. That just also shows, you know.
I didn't get the win. I didn't get the win in New York because I didn't pitch 5 innings, but we did win, which was nice. Yeah. You know, it's just a good feeling in the clubhouse afterwards.
And then you
makes
go
everything
to
a little better.
Boston, that's, you know, for the playoffs. I've seen the videos of the guys that warm up in that bullpen. Was that pretty intimidating? Because they're right there. The fans are behind you.
Luckily, I got to throw at home game 2.
Okay.
But game 4, we were down 2-1. And Cash came up to me before the game and was like, hey, you're going to be in the bullpen tonight. Because initially they were like, hey, if we go game 5, it's you. I'm like, okay, cool. And then he's like, hey, actually, you're going to be in the bullpen tonight. And I was like, oh, God, okay. Like, let's do it. And, I mean, it's like 40-something degrees. Like, it's cold. It's windy. It's drizzling a little bit. And I just remember sitting in the bullpen, and we started McHugh that game and probably used, like, 8 or 9 different pitchers. And the only ones left down there were me and JP Fireheisen. And it's a tied game in the 8th inning. And we're both looking at each other like, well, one of us is going in. Like, kind of like, we're the only 2 left down here.
Right.
Like, that's it. And so we're both kind of getting up and stretching and throwing plyos, whatever, just getting loose. And, oh, my God, dude, the fans were going crazy. They do, like, a song there in the 7th or 8th inning.
Sweet Caroline.
Or maybe going in the 9th inning.
No, it's the 7th. They do
Well, they do they do Sweet Caroline, and then they do Shipping Up to Boston.
Oh, right.
And that
right,
song
right.
is insane. Like, yeah. That was, like, seeing that was, like, I hadn't seen anything like that before.
Was that your first time at Fenway Park, like for the playoff start?
Yeah, wow. First time at Fenway. Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, that was my first time at Yankee Stadium. Like I hadn't been to any of those parks. It was nuts.
So you're a rookie.
You got to play there.
Yeah, rookie on a playoff run. Yeah. First, and that's your first time entering Yankee Stadium in
Fenway
Park. Insane. Just insane.
Yeah.
Most people are graduating college at 22, and you're pitching in big games against the Yankees and Red Sox.
Dude, I know. It was a blast. It was a heck of an ending to the year. Wish we could have pulled off that, you know, that playoff series, but got to just think about next year.
Yeah, there'll be plenty more.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the plan.
Yeah, so Shane, in September you underwent Tommy John surgery, right? Yeah. First of all, how's the recovery process going with that? I know obviously tough times, I'm sure, difficult road ahead to get back there, but how's the recovery been so far?
I mean, I've been blessed that it's been good so far. I think I had surgery like late September, very end of September, so I'm almost like 3.5 months, somewhere around there. Like probably 2.5 months, 2 months until I get to start playing catch and all that. So, I mean, it's gone really well. Super thankful to, you know, the doctors that helped me, and the PT I'm doing here has been really good. And yeah, I mean, it's feeling like I got like a normal arm again. You know, I almost feel like I could like throw right now if I needed to. So,
they're like, it's an going itch, really like good. You really want to pick it. Yeah.
Dude, like I got a baseball sitting right here like that. I just love sit it. Here and just hold like all the time. Like I'm just like, oh, I can't wait.
So in season, do you travel with the team or do you stay at a certain place?
So all of the injured list people will be at Tropicana just doing rehab. All season won't be traveling unless there's kind of like maybe a special occasion, but yeah, I'll be at the Tropicana with the team there, just rehabbing and building up throwing wise, and you know, work on my body and finish up, you know, the PT and stuff.
Do you get to suit up, or do you when the games start, you have to get, you know, you get kicked out, because I guess I don't know if there's a roster rule where you can't be there, but.
Yeah, so if you're on the injured list, you can be in the dugout. So
that's pretty cool.
Usually I'll sit and watch the game. Yeah, I mean, I just like watching it, and I like, you know, talking to teammates about what they think, the veteran guys, you know, what would you throw here? Like, what would you not throw here? Stuff like that. And I just like trying to learn as much as I can. Like, yeah. That's really the only thing I can do right now. So I'll definitely be doing that and just, you know, trying to soak it in and just watch and learn as much as I can.
For sure.
So are you supposed to, I mean, I read that you're going to miss the 2023 season, but hypothetically, yeah, the recovery process was going like more, was going better than you guys expected. Is there a chance you could return to the Rays at some point in 2023, or is that just completely off the table?
I mean, I honestly don't know. Obviously, I listen to them and trust them with everything. So, kind of whatever they think. But, I mean, that's not really the plan right now. But I don't know if I'm feeling good. You know, I am super ahead or something. Like, I'm sure it could be a possibility. But, I have no idea. Kind of just trying to take it slow and go one day at a time type of thing.
Well, you remember when Marcus Stroman tore his ACL and they thought it was going to take like a whole year, and he ended up
making
it back, I think, what was that, like 2015, I think, for the playoffs?
Yeah, that's nuts.
The only thing I got to say about that, ACL and UCL are very different, and teams are going to take those two things, especially for a pitcher, very differently. So, you know, I'd have to imagine, I mean, Shane knows best. Yeah, but I think like a team would probably be very cautious on.
Yeah, definitely play it safe.
Yeah,
in that aspect.
Yeah, especially.
I mean, we saw Glasnow come back at the end of this year.
Yeah,
I don't know what his timeline was, but man, he came back and looked awesome for us at the end of the season in the playoffs. So, I don't remember exactly when he had surgery, but I mean, he looked great.
Yeah. So here we are, Shane, 2023. You know, we Rays fans have seen flashes of your potential. Obviously, everyone's been hyping you up now for years. You're probably going to miss all this coming season, but next year, 2024, you will be coming back. So what are your future goals moving forward?
I mean, I think just helping a team win and being a guy on that team that they feel like they can rely on, you know, just being a steady workhorse for them and just really getting as much out of myself as I can, you know. I think baseball is a lot of, you know, mental, like it takes a lot of mental toughness and strength just to like get through a season. And I mean, I love that aspect of it and just trying to do the best that I can. And I don't really have any like, oh, I really want to make this many All-Star games or whatever. You know, it's like, I've loved being on a team that's competing and it's made it so much more fun and makes you want to work even harder. You know, it's like, I think just being on a winning team would be great.
100%. And the Rays, I mean, even though they have a, you know, obviously a smaller market, smaller payroll, they're still able to year in and year out, stay competitive, make the playoffs more often than not. So why do you think so many players go to Tampa and they're able to succeed consistently? Like why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, everybody jokes there's something in the water, like in our stadium or something. But I think it's just a combination of, like, we're so good at acquiring players. Like, our front office does a good job of, you know, doing their research and finding guys that they like and, you know, helping them find what they're good at or, you know, just giving them some direction can help a lot sometimes. I'm not sure what it is, but I've loved it so far. I mean, it is a smaller market, but, like, it's pretty cool whenever – it seems like everyone that's a big fan is very, like, they're true fans. You know, they're not like, you know, if I see somebody in downtown St. Petersburg at, like, you know, a coffee place or something, they're so nice, you know.
Awesome.
They're, you know, we hope you get back healthy soon and all that stuff. So it's like, they're very genuine and I've loved it so far. And I mean, it's a good division to play in. It's been a lot of fun.
So, you faced Aaron Judge last year.
Yeah.
That was a year that one of the greatest years of all time, many consider, for a hitter. You know, when the guy's
in
that, when a guy's in that kind of groove, he got you once, but you got
he
him
did
once.
Give him once.
But
yeah.
He got, yeah. So, like, what was your mindset when you faced him, I guess, the first time? And then the second time, because it was a pretty big moment the second time, because it was basically – loaded,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It wasn't the first time I faced him. I actually got to face him in 2021.
For last year.
At Yankee
yeah.
Stadium, and I think I walked him or something. But I was like, you know, I've seen him before. I didn't really have any type of like, oh, I'm really gonna stick with this pitch here or any of that. But first at bat, I remember thinking like, okay, I got nobody on. Like, I got to go at him. Like, this is the time to do it. And so I think I threw a first pitch slider for a ball. And then I threw another one for a strike. And he hit a fly ball to center field. And I remember being like, okay, like, all right. This dude's, like, leading the league in everything. Which he's also an awesome dude from what I've heard. And he's very fun to compete with because he's so good. But I remember being like, okay, like, I can get him out. Like, it's possible, yeah. You know? Like, and then the second at bat, he comes up, and I'm like, okay, nobody on again. Like, I got to go right at him. Can't walk him. Like, I don't want to be one of those people that doesn't pitch to him. You know, like, I'm not putting him on base and letting, you know, Rizzo or Stanton hit with runners on. And so I threw him a first pitch slider again and kind of hung it, and he got it. Like, he hit it pretty good. And I remember just being like, damn, like, at least it was, like, to probably the best hitter in baseball right now. And I remember at the end of the season, like, seeing all of the mashups, they'd be like, oh, all of Aaron Judge's 62 home runs. And, like, it would be, like, super fast. And I just remember being like, oh, yeah, there's
waiting
me.
For
like,
your part. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, there's me.
One of the many Judge victims, yep.
Yeah, literally, I'm like, he doesn't get that record without me. So, like, I should definitely get something in return, but
a piece of the contract.
You are part of history,
dude. I'm like anything, like something.
That's awesome.
But yeah. And then the third at bat was good because I had bases loaded, and I was like, well, now I have to get him, or it's gonna get ugly. We're up like 1-0 at the time, so I was like, all right, well, now I have to get him. But yeah, or we were up 2-1 maybe, and yeah, I got him that at bat. So I'd say we're pretty even right now, but he's a very good hitter, good approach.
For sure.
Would you say Judge is the toughest guy you've ever faced?
He's up there. I don't think of anyone else where I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd rather face Judge than him. Like,
do you have a top five list of like toughest guys you've ever faced?
In no particular order.
Yeah.
I would say Judge is up there. Goodness, I would say like Springer's probably up there. Vlad is up there. Vlad Jr.
Springer's tough because he keeps at bats alive too. Like he's pesky. He's tough to get out.
Oh yeah, and like he has such a good eye that you throw a good pitch and you're like, how do you not swing at that? Like,
right?
Like, am I tipping my pitches or something? Like, how does he know? It's like he knew it was coming. And I'm trying to think of other people. Rizzo is a good hitter too. Let me think of some other teams that I played against. I'd say like probably like trying to think of somebody that got me a little bit. I would say maybe. Oh, I'll just go with Stanton. That's easy too.
I was seeing that entire issue.
He hits the ball so hard. Huh?
Did he ever get you?
I don't think so. Oh, I could throw in like Devers or Bogarts.
Oh, yeah.
They're both freaks too. They're both very good. Bogarts is pretty good.
We've heard rumors of the Rays potentially moving cities. We've heard like Montreal. Some people have said Vegas. Is there a city that like you would think would be a cool maybe expansion for the Rays if they were to move out of Tampa, or would you rather? I mean, I guess I don't know. I'm just asking you, how do you feel about it? Maybe an expansion.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about the stadium stuff for a little bit now. Obviously, there's so much like stuff at play for that. Like,
yeah,
like I have no idea what all goes into that. And, like, it's probably a ridiculous amount of logistics and all that, and I don't even know who gets to decide ultimately, but I mean, I honestly don't hate the Trop. Mm-hmm. It's nice that it's inside. I mean, I guarantee if we had a stadium like in either St. Pete or Tampa Bay, like either one, I'm sure it would like just having a new stadium, I feel like kind of,
it will bring fans.
It just makes people want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes people want to go more because it's new and all that. They haven't seen it before. And, I mean, like I said, I have no idea what even would make that happen. But,
yeah.
I mean, I like Tampa. I like Tampa. Like, I kind of want to stay there.
Tampa seems so fun. I got to check it out.
Yeah, it's good.
Florida is such a baseball state. Like, you know, you're telling me we can't find room for two teams in Florida with all the talent we've seen come out of there. And I know I've been to Florida a lot. I know people there love baseball. Like, it would suck to see the Rays leave. I personally think they should just build like a new stadium in Tampa, like another
part of Tampa. Yeah, I don't know what year that were like the trap is finished or any of that, but hopefully I'm still there. But yeah, that would be awesome.
Shane, I wish we had more time to ask you more questions. Me and Josh probably come up with like a million more, but I don't want to hold you too long here.
Thank you
so much for joining us as our first guest, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all.
Thanks, it'd be great, Shane. To maybe maybe reconnect like a year from now, and after the Tommy John set a little bit and you're back in the big leagues.
Yeah, Once y'all are all blown up, and I'm gonna have to beg y'all to come back on.
Oh, hopefully, man. Hopefully, no, we'll always make room for you, Shane. You're the first guy, so.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on. It was an honor to be the first.
Hell yeah, man! First of many.
Definitely.
All right, Shane. Well, best of luck with the Tommy John recovery and you know, everything coming up for you in the next year. Again, just thank you so much. Best of luck with everything.